Pastor Melody, let's give her a big God bless. We haven't heard you for a while. I'm excited.
I'm switching over to this headset. Is it on? Can you hear me? Look at that. I'll put this down. Do I have to turn this off or no? All right, cool. So everybody doing good today? And your turkeys are in the roaster as we speak? Mine is in the marinade. Gave it a good rub down yesterday, got those spices out, rubbed it into the meat, injected the meat with some nice juices so that it could taste succulent and just yummy. Tomorrow, my family has to wait till tomorrow because if the turkey's going to be in while I'm up here today, there's chances it could burn. And I apologize for your burnt offerings today that you're all going to have to eat, and I will do my best not to go too long. Pastor, we have to invest in a stand that goes like this. Collecting donations towards that stand as we speak. I'm glad you guys are laughing. That makes it a little easier for me today. I was really feeling on my heart another word, and then when I had learned that Pastor Donna was going to come and share her testimony on what God is doing in her life concerning this cancer word that was declared, I thought, I can't share what has been stirring in my heart because there's got to be a marriage in the faith realm with the word of God and what God is doing in her life. There's got to be a rising up of faith that just challenges us to tap into a power that God has for us this morning. And so you can be here today and you may be saying to yourself, well, I don't have any sickness, I don't have anything wrong with me, so this sermon doesn't perhaps apply to me. But it will, you will see. Because it's the Word of God, and every part of the Word of God is applicable as we read it and we make it applicable to our lives. As we tap into the Word of God, the Word of God taps into us and filters into our being everything that we are needing. It comes from three Gospels, this story, but we're going to read this morning from Mark, Matthew, Mark, the second Gospel, Mark chapter 5. And we're going to be reading from verse 21. Onward through to the end. We're going to look at a sandwiched healing. Sandwiched healing. Has anybody ever experienced a sandwiched healing? No. Maybe you will today. Are you ready? I'm reading from the ESV. It's still the Word of God. And when Jesus had crossed again into the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garments. For she said, If I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion of people weeping and wailing loudly. And when they had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they immediately overcame with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. "Who touched me? Who touched me?" An interesting question for an omniscient God to ask. Who touched me? Let's just pause and pray if we could. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are alive and real. I thank you that you are in this place. And Lord, I just pray right now, clear the distractions of our mind. Clear the distractions in this room. Lord, we bind every distraction that would want to raise itself above the authority of who you are, that would want to cause the ear gates to be closed. Lord, we bind and silence those distractions in the name of Jesus. Any whispering, any clamoring in the name of Jesus, Lord, we look to you to be the sole voice in this house, in this moment and in this hour. God, I surrender to you my mouth, my thoughts, and I pray, Holy Spirit, speak through me to your children. Remove me from the picture, God, that you may be glorified this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. So we see this ruler, this synagogue ruler, Jairus, come, and Jesus has now just crossed over from the other side. Jesus was formerly in a non-Jewish region. He was in a Gentile region and just had finished completing a miracle of freeing the demoniac man. By the Jewish customs, Jesus would have come and been an unclean person because he had been in contact with a demoniac man. And the first person to reach him as he crosses over to this other side into the Jewish territory now is this ruler, Jairus. And Jairus has a request to make of him. And going to him, falling at his feet, he says to him, "My daughter is at the point of death. Would you come that she may be made whole?" Matthew's account of the same story says in verse 18, "My daughter has just died." Matthew 9:18, "My daughter has just died." It's just a different account, same gospel, same word. But for some reason, he in that moment is in desperation. That's the point that we want to get you to understand. Jairus is in a place of desperation. It's interesting that his name is called Jairus because the Greek translation of that is Jair, if I'm saying it right, means the enlightened one. And the enlightened one, Jairus, is going to the light and he's saying to him, "My daughter is at the point of death. In fact, my daughter is dead. I am desperate. Would you come and lay hands on her that she would be made well?" And he's imploring the light. "Would you come? Would you come and do this?" And Jesus is like, "Let's go. Let's go." And so now, the multitudes that had gathered, because many had heard the reports that had happened on the other side, are now coming around to see what could they see. What could they tap into? What could they get from Jesus? What kind of experience can they have from this Jesus? They had heard the reports, and so many were gathered around, and now Jesus is en route with Jairus to his house to minister to his daughter. And there comes an interruption. An interruption of a lady. A lady which Luke's account says she had an issue of blood. She had an issue. Do you have an issue today? We all have issues. So if you think that it's about a woman, it's very much about you and me. Because we have issues. She had an issue of blood. And for 12 years, she had been suffering with this issue. 12 years she had gone from physician to physician, seeking for answers, seeking for a remedy, for them to give her some sort of concoction that would heal her problem. By the Levitical law, according to Leviticus chapter 15, you would find that if there is a woman that has any kind of a discharge of blood, that anywhere where she would sit is considered contaminated. If she would come in contact with you, you would be considered contaminated. And so this lady was not only suffering from an issue of discharge, an issue of blood, she was suffering from being an outcast, because if Leviticus said, if their Levitical law said that she cannot be around others because she would contaminate them, then that means that I'm understanding she also had abandonment issues, rejection issues. Perhaps she was one time married and her husband said, "You can't bring me children. Goodbye with you. I want a lady that's going to provide me children. I want an heir to my name." So perhaps she was a lonely woman. We don't know. The scripture doesn't say that she was or wasn't married. But we could go there in the thought to understand that Leviticus said, "You're contaminated. You cannot be a part of the people, lest they become contaminated too." Jairus would have been full well of this, being a ruler of the synagogue. He would have been full well of this law. This lady comes in, not yet recognized, I believe. Because if people knew that she was there, just that the story's letting us know she's present. If the people in the community knew, if the throngs that were gathered around knew that this unclean person was in their midst, there would be an uproar of sorts. Get her away! Do away with her! What is she doing here? She's come and caused all this problem! Get her away! And they would want nothing to do with her. She would be a trouble for them. She would be an insult for them. And she's there at the point of faith, saying, "I just need to encounter something. I need to know that this Jesus is who he says that he is. I need to know that these miracles that he's performing are actually true and real. I need to know this Jesus." And with this persistence in her heart, she says, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment." Now, this isn't a Jewish prayer shawl by any measure. But the Jewish prayer shawl has the fringes on it. So when she's saying, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment," she's referring to the tallits, the tzitzits that are on the end of the prayer shawl. She has enough faith to believe that if she could just touch this, all of her issues would be set free from her. All of her problems, everything would go. She had enough issue in just a fringe of Jesus' garment. Where's your faith measure today? Is it in who? She had gone to physicians, and none of them can heal her. Who have you gone to with your issues? Who have you texted about your latest problem? Who have you emailed? Who have you got on Snapchat about? Who have you gotten on FaceTime and chit-chatted? Oh, you don't know. Let me tell you about... And you go on to say, either as Donna has said, your bones are like Swiss cheese. You're not talking about me. The x-ray is not my x-ray. You read the wrong x-ray, doctor. I'm healthy. The most healthy 71-year-old woman you're going to see. The doctor's thinking she's off her rocker. She's in denial. She's not believing, but I've got the medical proof, the imaging to prove that she has bones of Swiss cheese. She didn't believe his report. She went to Dr. Jesus. This lady had spent everything that she had had on physicians, but she had one more try. One more ounce of faith that was going to just reach in and grab that tallit. One more ounce. Anybody read Winnie the Pooh to their children? I guess not. I did. I read Winnie the Pooh to my children. And it says in the story, the house at Pooh's Corner. Piglet comes up, sided up to Pooh from behind. Pooh, he whispered. Yes, Piglet. Nothing, said Piglet. Taking Pooh's paw, I just wanted to be sure of you. I just wanted to be sure of you. Right from the point of our children being young, we teach them that touch gives assurance. We teach them that there's some sort of power in touch. Holding mommy's hand means security. Holding daddy's hand means strength. And so somehow we have taught our children, maybe if it's only through Pooh's rendition at the house at Pooh's Corner, Piglet sought comfort in Pooh's paw. I just wanted to be sure of you. This woman just wanted to be sure that the accounts that she had heard of this Jesus were real accounts. She wanted to be sure in her innermost being, this Jesus is who he had said that he is, and I just am going to reach out and touch the fringe of his garment. And so as the multitude is with Jesus en route to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, she comes in from behind. Imagine. From behind, so that nobody could see. Have you come to church hidden behind the pain? Wearing the mask of, I'm fine. Everything's great. Praise the Lord. How are you? Blessed and highly favored. We haven't convinced yourself that you're blessed and highly favored. And she's in that throng, hoping that none would see. And as she's en route to touch Jesus, David, would you come here? You guys got to see it maybe so you could catch it. Okay, so David, turn around. Thank you. Awesome. So, he's Jesus. And he's got his prayer, his customary shawl. Customary Jewish garb. Yeah, shawl. And she's in the throng of the multitude. Now, have you ever been someplace where there's a whole bunch of people? Is it easy to walk? No. And her pursuit, her one single vision, just stay there. Her one single vision is to grab a hold of that tallit. But people are pushing her from, why don't you four right there just come? And while I'm en route for this tallit, just because you're in that row. If you sat three rows back, you would have been safe. I'm going to just use you all. Okay, so you guys are here with me. And you're the multitudes. Multitudes. Envision that. Your church has multitudes of youth. Okay, so I'm trying to get to the tallits. You guys don't let me. Okay? So she's en route. She has one singular vision. She has one purpose. I need to tap in to this Jesus. I've got issues that needs a Jesus. I've got bleeding problems. Is your heart bleeding today? I've got bleeding problems. I need to get to this Jesus. But she does not want to be seen because she is an outcast. She is rejected. She's not received by the people. But she needs to get in. And she needs to touch the hem of his garment. And as she grabs a hold of it, what happens? What happens? She perceived in her body, thank you, you guys were awesome. She perceived in her body right away for a healing had taken place. A healing took place. If you've been sick, you know at the point of which you've been made well. You know at which point. And there she was, reaching for the hem of his garment and laying hold of it. She knew immediately she was set free. Immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt her body was healed of her disease. Immediately your issue was dealt with and your body was freed from your dis-ease. Immediately upon the point of contact when faith met power. When faith met power. And Jesus asks this very, I find it mind-boggling. Oh, imagine, look what happens when that thing comes close to your mouth. Excuse me for one sec. I find it mind-boggling that Jesus asks, who touched me? Does it challenge anyone in the room why Jesus, the omniscient God, would ask, who touched me? Even his disciples were challenged by this. Master, come on. You're in a throng of people. And you're asking who touched you? Today's vernacular would go, ah, duh, everybody. Like, come on, Jesus, hello. But that's not what Jesus' question was. Who touched me? Because he was about to demonstrate who it was. You need to understand what I did because you need to see who it was. He says, I perceived that power went forth from me. You don't get it. It's not that I don't know who. I know who. But you need to see who has touched me. You need to see what my power did in the who. You need to understand what you once thought was someone to be cast away. What you once thought was somebody not to be regarded anymore as a part of your group, as a part of your kinship, as a part of your community. You need to know who that person was that my power went into and who that person was that immediately became set free from the bonds and the chains that you as a society put on them. You need to know that healing virtue was not just en route to Jairus's house. Healing virtue happened right here in this moment. Who touched me? With fear and trembling, the scripture says. With fear and trembling. She knows that she could do nothing but to come forth and tell the story. And she says, it is me. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. I shared this story once before. I'm going to share it with you now. Mike Googly Moochie lied to the world. In 2007, he wrote a song called I Believe You're My Healer. We sing it in church today. But the problem with Mike at that time was he had an issue. Mike got on the stage with Hillsong, and he performed this song. I believe you're my healer. I believe you're more than enough for me. He had an oxygen tank with him. He had nasal prongs in his nose. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're all that I need. Everybody had sympathy on Mike getting up there to sing this song. All convinced that this man was dying of a terrible cancerous disease. The truth of Mike was this. When he was just in his preteens of 12 and 13, he had engaged on the internet in pornography. Just a one-stop visit that became a constant visit. It became something that ate away at him. He couldn't go without watching it. He was so spiritually sick with what he was doing, yet physically bound to this pornography. He began to manifest physically what was going on in his body, actually spiritually. Parents brought him to doctors. He had numerous visits at hospitals, numerous emergency room visits. Finally, by the time he was in his late teens, the doctor pulled his father aside and he says, I can do no longer anything for your son. His problem is not physical. It is mental. We need to admit him into the mental health ward and attend to his need that way. The father said, no. We will deal with it. The father was a renowned pastor with Planet Shakers and very renowned in the Australia area, brought his son home. The pornography addiction grew deeper and deeper. He spent most of his hours watching it. He forged letters from doctors, sent emails from acclaimed doctors to his parents, would go telling his father, I need to go to the hospital for my chemo, my therapy, my treatment. The father would drop him off. He would just sit in the hospital for hours on end, not truthfully receiving any treatment. He had an issue. He had an addiction. He had something that had laid hold of him. And he did everything within his power to keep that hidden, to keep that lie from surfacing and being seen by anyone. So after several letters to the parents from doctors, he then raised a fundraiser through Hillsong to raise money for his treatment. Many people poured into him and this fundraiser to have money for the treatment. And he gets up and he performs, I believe you're my healer. With every strength that was within him, he got up to perform that song. I believe you're all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all that I need. All the while, a great big fat lie. He couldn't live with himself anymore. Charisma magazine says, when he came forward and told the whole truth. When she came to Jesus in fear and trembling and told him the whole truth, he said, daughter, you're healed. Your faith has made you well. When he came forward and told the whole truth, his issue was immediately dealt with. Though he had the repercussions, as the song was immediately pulled from the internet, as the album was immediately that was formally released, That song was removed from it for a few years. You could not find that song anywhere on the internet. Now as the healing has happened, as the restoration has taken place, it was because he told the whole truth. This woman had an issue for 12 years, an issue of blood that caused her to be an outcast, that caused her not to be accepted, that caused her to be abandoned and rejected. This man was loved, very much revered. But the minute he came forth and told his story, there was a split in the camp. There were those that hated him and were mad at him. We gave you money. All that money had to be returned. Hillsong made a big announcement that made the area of Australia silenced in shock. What issue are you dealing with? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it mental? God is here. You just need to reach for the tallits. You don't need to have somebody come and lay hands on you per se. Though that does work. Though that is a method that the scripture does speak about. Calling forth of the elders and the laying on of hands. But you just need to have the faith to reach and touch. When she had told the whole truth, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Go in peace. Jairus is now impatient. The word has come. Your daughter's dead. Don't even bother the teacher anymore. Don't even bother with the teacher. What's the point, Jairus? If he had only been a few minutes earlier, if he had gotten him here sooner, but no, there had to be this interruption. Yes, because Jesus wanted to let Jairus know. Just as your daughter is important to you, my Father's daughter is important to him. And just as you need me to take time out for you, I need to take time out for my Father's daughter. She is as important to him as your daughter is important to you. Jairus, she suffered for 12 years. Your daughter is 12 years old. Jairus, you need to learn a lesson. In the kingdom of God, all are loved. In the kingdom of God, all are equally important. And my healing power that's going to be visiting your daughter is as very much important for God's daughter right here, right now. There needs to be a restoration in the body. There needs to be a healing within the body. And this woman is a whole picture of that healing that needs to take place within the body. The physical body, the spiritual body, the body of Christ, which is who we are to represent. There needs to take place a healing. Jairus, be patient. They get there finally. To the house of Jairus. I'm pretty sure there were some Italians at the bunch because they were just a wailing. And they were just a crying. We do that good. Apparently in some places of Italy you can hire mourners. I don't know if you guys have them and where you're from. But apparently you can do that. And they'll cry for you. I could cry by myself. I don't even need to hire anybody to cry for me. I'm sorry, but if I'm sad about something, I'll cry on my own. Okay, thank you. And so Jesus gets there, and they're all crying, and there's a lot of commotion going on. And what does Jesus say to them? They're like, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead." They laughed at him. They laughed at him. They mocked. Interesting, because they weren't just a part of what just took place. They were at the house, waiting, mourning. Wah, wah. But had they been a part of that healing, had they been a part of that scene, knowing that the issue of blood had been immediately stopped, knowing that this woman was immediately set free, knowing that every part of her had been restored, they wouldn't have been wailing. They would have been talking about what they saw. They would have wanted, Jesus, what do you have for me? We heard that she told the whole truth. Yes, she did. Isn't it interesting? We could miss that, telling the whole truth. She went to Jesus, who is the truth, with the whole truth. But he already knew the truth. And then he spoke the word to her. Your faith has made you well. Right? In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Here was Jesus in that beginning form of God that spoke the earth into form, the creator that spoke the earth into form, the creator that actually is responsible for her being alive, spoke over her life, you shall live and not die. When she was in her mother's womb, who spoke that life over into her? It was God's creative work within her mother's womb. She went to the truth with the whole truth so that God could be exemplified. And now Jesus goes into the house, but he says that only Peter, James, and John are to go with him. So these mourners have no idea of the power that was just witnessed. None of those multitudes are there with them. None of those people, only Peter, James, and John. And he goes into the house and he says to the young woman, Talitha kumi, my daughter, arise. What will it take for you to arise from your bed of despair? What will it take for you to arise and shine, for your light has come? Isaiah says it, arise from the circumstances in which life has placed you, if you read it from the Amplified version. Arise from the place in which circumstances have placed you and shine, for the light has come. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. And he comes to her and he says to her, arise. What will it take for you, brother and sister, to arise from your place this morning, to arise from your issue, and choose to receive that exchange of power? I'm walking no longer in my power. I'm knocking no longer in my strength. I'm not walking in my robes. I'm putting on the robe of Christ. I'm putting on the righteousness of Christ. I'm walking in the healing of Christ. My chains are coming off. You might declare me unfit, unuseful. You might declare me an outcast, but I'm putting on the robes of Christ. I'm walking in his righteousness and I'm walking in his wholeness. I'm walking in his power. I'm walking in his sustaining ability. Because it's not by my might, it's not by my power, but it's by his power. And I hear him saying to me, daughter, arise. I hear him saying, house of Logos, arise from the place of despair that you are in. Get out of the circumstances that you are in. Just got to reach and touch the talits. What is it? Financial despair? What's holding you bound? What's keeping you tightly shut in? Immediately the girl got up. Immediately the issue dried up. Immediately the girl got up. Immediately the issue dried up. If there's not an immediate, then something's wrong with your reach. That's not a judgment. Immediately the girl got up, and Jesus, it says this, Immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome. Twice. Three times in one text. Twice for Jairus' daughter. Immediately she got up, and immediately they were overcome. With amazement. See, it's not about you and me. It's not about our healing. It's about the amazement of the glory of God and His power in your life. You see, she was a castaway for 12 years. Which tells me, at the point of her problem initiating, this little girl was born. While that father looked into the eyes of his daughter and was amazed and overwhelmed with love for his daughter, when her issue started, her heavenly father was looking down on her, amazed and overwhelmed with love for his daughter. He heals still today, no matter what your issue is. You need physical healing? Jesus heals today. You need a spiritual healing? Your faith being challenged? You don't know what you believe anymore? Who you believe? Been disappointed so many times, the Word of God just doesn't do you anymore? Jesus can heal that. Your faith has made you well. Arise. Arise. This lady experienced her healing. And I can't help but wonder if Jairus, as he left his house that day, when Jesus left and went onward with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, I can't help but wonder if Jairus reflected for a moment on the woman with the issue of blood. If he perhaps remembered that it was me who cast her out. I was that ruler that said she couldn't come to the temple to worship because she was dirty. She was unclean. I wonder if he was the one who said she couldn't worship there. I wonder if he was the one who stopped to reflect on his actions while he looked into the eyes of his daughter and saw the beautiful love of God and how it works. His healing is for you today, no matter what your issue is. You see, Luke's account says issue. In Mark's account that we read, it said discharge. He told the parents that no one should know about this and give her something to eat. I'm challenged again by the Lord. First you ask who, because you want to point us to who. But you want to point us back to you. And now you say, don't tell anyone. Don't you think the mourners that were hanging out at the house who were put out are waiting out there to see if she was going to live or not? Shh, just wait. Let's hang around and see what happens. Let's see if he really heals her. Don't you think those mourners would have still been there? I think so. You sure don't go telling anybody about what just has happened. Feed her. He's interested in your spiritual food as well. He is interested in your healing. But when you receive your healing, you must be filled with the Word of God. You must be filled with the Word of God. That means that you need to partake of the Word. You need to daily go into the Word of God. You need to daily be eating of His Word. So that that healing could strengthen you. Because the minute you are set free, the enemy is waiting there with the chains on the side, just wanting to buckle you one more time, just wanting to whip them around your ankles and hold you bound so that you can't move forwards or backwards, left or right, bound because you didn't have the Word of God filling you, so that when the enemy came in with his lies, you weren't able to say no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That lie is from the pit of hell. I don't receive it over my life or over my body, over my spiritual soul. Because as a child of God, I don't need to receive those words. My righteousness is in Christ. When you receive your healing, when your faith has made a power exchange, be sure that you take your spiritual food. Be sure that you're feeding yourself. Be sure that your soul reliance is not on your texts, not on your emails, not on your friends, not on your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. It's on the Word of God. Amen. And if He should so choose a friend to encourage you, to motivate you, then He will. Because I believe that that lady, after 12 years of being bound and known in the community as being bound, went forth as a testimony. Oh, wow, look at her. Look at her. She was once bound. I remember when she wasn't even allowed in the temple. I remember when she was unclean. And her life became a living epistle. Let your life be a living epistle by filling it. Talitha Kumi, arise, arise. It's time to arise. And it's time to be fed the spiritual word of God for your spiritual bodies. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? Because we all have issues. Maybe you have a physical issue. Maybe you've been battling with it for a very long time. Maybe your mind is tormented. Maybe it's been tormented for so long, medications just aren't helping it anymore. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual. Perhaps you've been eating the wrong diet. Perhaps you woke up this morning and checked Facebook first, rather than thank you, Lord, for today. Maybe your diet today was Facebook. Maybe it was Instagram. Maybe you checked to see if your friend answered your message. What is your issue? Let Jesus fill in the Swiss holes. Let His power fill in the holes that medicine says, you're sick. Let Him fill in the holes. Let Him deliver you. Just reach out and touch in faith. Come out of hiding. Reach out and touch in faith. It's me, Lord. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Don't look left or right this morning. Don't say, oh, that message should have been for so-and-so. Wish they were here. Oh, did my husband ever need to hear that word? No, it's for you. Custom made by God for you. Etched with His blood, because His blood is healing virtue for your whole being. Let Him fill the Swiss cheese in your life. And let Him make you whole. Father God, I just surrender this word to You. Lord, only You could do what You have to do with it. Have Your way, O God, in our hearts. Have Your way in our lives today, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Let's all stand together, please. I want want every head bowed just for a moment. We're not going to call you forward, but we're going to challenge you. Every head bowed just for a moment. The shawl that Jesus wore, tallit, there were the tassels as was mentioned. And all she wanted to do was to touch the tassels. That's all she wanted to do. That moment of faith was ignited. Something powerful happened as she touched the tassel. I'm going to ask you to do the very same thing today. You don't need someone to lay hands on you, although that's important at times, but not now. I'm going to ask you to release your faith. I'm going to ask you to touch the hem of his garment, as the Bible says, by faith. You know, some of you have not received healing because you don't really believe. Some of you haven't because you like your sin and you don't want to give it up. There's many reasons why people just don't get healed, and there's other times it's not the timing or the Lord has something that you need to wait. Maybe it's a thorn in your flesh that God says you're going to have to endure it. But my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your problem is. I know one thing. She believed. And she was desperate. Some of you aren't desperate enough. You see, it was her desperation that got her to that place. If you're not desperate, you're not going to fight the crowds. If you're not desperate, you're not going to believe. If you're not desperate, you're just going to give up when you make the second visit to the doctor. But she spent 12 years and she was hungry. Maybe some of you are hungry this morning. And you need to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You've talked to a lot of people. You've spoken to a lot of pastors, a lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of people. But there's been no change. If you got faith to believe this morning, you see, it's her faith that got her out of her house. It's her faith that fought the crowds. Her faith, not in the tassel, but in the one who wore the tassels. Jesus. Every head bowed. Is there anyone here that is going through a physical problem that you've been in this condition for a long time and there hasn't been any change and you've still been struggling with whatever your problem is physically? I want to see your hand. I'm not calling you forward. We're going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment in a few moments. If that's you, just keep your hand up real high. It's not for me. Just you're going before the Lord. Okay, put them down for now. Maybe there's other people here, not physical, but maybe it's some kind of an addiction, something spiritual. Maybe something has happened in your life. There's been a codependency on something. Maybe it's a wrong relationship. Yeah. Maybe it's putting too much confidence in man. Maybe you've been looking at and focusing on the wrong things. And those things that have become addictions to you have been things that you have looked for to make you feel better, to fill that void, that emptiness, and it's become an addiction now, and you're still empty and you're still hurting inside. If that's you, nobody looking, every head bowed, you're raising your hand before the Lord. Look, this is between you and God here. I'm not even part of the, my eyes are closed. I don't even know who you are. Just raise your hand real high. And as you're raising your hand, you're saying, God, it's me. I'm right here. I'm taking a stand this morning. And then maybe your emotions have got the best of you for some of you. You're up and down. You're like a tide in the ocean. In the morning you're at low tide and at night you're on high tide, and you keep going through the tides of your emotion. day after day. Stability's not there. You're basing everything on emotions. You're excited and you're shouting one day, and the next day you're depressed and down, and your testimony is not what it should be, and people can't even trust you because you're so emotional that even if you're telling the truth, people won't see it, because the next day you'll be doing something different. Your emotions are controlling your life. If that's you and your emotions are leading you rather than faith in Christ, I want you to raise your hand. Nobody looking. My eyes are closed. It's between you and God. Between you and God. As Melody said, we all have issues. Some are bigger, some are smaller. But you see, we have the same God who's able to deal with any issue that you might have. We're going to sing that song, Josh, "There is Power in the Name of Jesus." We're going to sing it once or twice, and then we're going to pray. And I'm going to encourage you by faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And by the way, if you do that, Jesus knows where you're at. So if you're not sincere and if you're not desperate, chances are you're just going to raise your hand and that's it. But He knows where you're at. Please bear that in mind. It was our hunger and our desperation for Christ that made the difference. There is power in the name. Now, when that woman stretched her hand, she fought the crowds, but she stretched her hand. There's something in the stretching, you see. Because there was a crowd. Stretching speaks of passion, of hunger. There was nothing stoic or apprehensive about her. She was desperate. You see, if you're not desperate for God, then it's just going to be an exterior exercise, and that's all it's going to be. I'm just telling you the truth. You know why I know? Because there was many people around Jesus that day. Nobody got healed but her. So it's not in the touch. It's how you touch. It's not the fact that you're close to Jesus. It's touching Him by faith. That was the difference. Touching Him by desperation. You could be in church for 50 years and not get a touch because your heart is not open. That healed that woman is the same God that healed Donna Martin Fiwas. The same God that healed Kimberly's dad. We heard three amazing miracles in 2 days. Bonafide miracles that cannot happen by accident. Somebody touched the hem of His garment. I want every head bowed one more time. If it was you that raised your hand, whether it was physical, whether it was spiritual, or whether it was emotional, I want you now, by faith, if you want, I'm not going to force you. If you're hungry, if you're desperate for a healing, I'm going to ask you by faith, not by logic or by mind. Your mind, faith walks differently than logic does. We walk by faith and not by sight. So by faith, you're going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment today. Give me those tassels, brother. You want to just give me that? Just give me that. Just throw it here. Okay. Just touch here. In the spirit realm. The spirit realm. You touch these tassels by faith. The spirit realm. You're touching these tassels by faith. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and stretch your arm. You're fighting those crowds in the spirit realm, so to speak. And you're touching the hem of His garment. Those tassels of the tallit of God that speaks of His power. And so just do that right now. Say, Lord, I'm just coming by faith and I'm touching Your tassels that You bring healing to my body. Just go ahead and do that right now by faith. And you pray now. I want you to pray. I'm not praying. You pray. Lord Jesus, touch me now. I want prayer to start echo through these walls. You pray for yourself right now. You don't need someone to lay hands on you. You've got the one who's able to heal you right before your eyes. You begin to pray it out. Lord, touch my body. Touch my mind. Touch my spirit. Cleanse me of this addiction. Set me free, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Declare it again as we cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Sufficient sacrifice, so free.
Oh, oh, Jesus,
we worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. We exalt your name today. We exalt you today, O Lord. We worship you and bow in your presence tonight, O Lord. On this Thanksgiving morning, Sunday morning, we are declaring our gratitude. Like the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back and gave thanks. We don't want to be the other 9, Father. We want to thank you even now. I want to thank you for who you are. I want to praise you for your goodness and your mercy. I want to thank you for all the things you've done in my life. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your touch. That touch. That peace. That joy. I want to thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We magnify you today, oh God. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let's just hold hands with each other. We declare His majesty, His power, His goodness, His mercy. We got so much to be thankful for. We got, friends, you got so much to be thankful. Let me tell you something. Just think about the things God has done in your life. Just think about how others in the other part of this world live their lives, and somehow God has showed you favor. God has blessed you, has met your need, has found you a home, has found you a place. My God has found you the right person, has opened that door that nobody can open, has shut the door that no one can shut. God made a way from you. You didn't see it, but it was there. You didn't understand it, but it was there. You thought it was someone else, but it was God. God made a way for you. We got so much to be thankful for. So much to praise God for. So much. My brothers and sisters, don't ever take the blessings of God for granted. Don't take His healing for granted. Don't take His deliverance for granted. Don't take His love for granted. See, the greatest thing you could do on Thanksgiving morning is to say, Lord, take my life. I'm grateful for everything. Here I am, Lord. I surrender everything to you. I just surrender it to you. I worship you. I'm going to pray this morning. Father, as we hold hands, we declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We declare on Thanksgiving morning, we declare your power, your ability to heal, to set people free. We declare that there's no one like you. We declare that you've come to set us free. We declare there's no answer but you alone. We declare it was your blood that saved me. It was your blood that restored me. And because you died on the cross and rose again, we declare the victory. We declare that one day we're going to be with you. We declare the crowns that you have prepared for us has already been given to us. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives. We declare that we are going to walk by faith and not by sight. We declare. That, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Nothing. We say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you, Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise. I will bless the Lord at all. His praise shall continue. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, as we stand before you, holding hands, declaring before you your greatness. Father, we want to say thank you this morning, together as one body. Thank you for healing us, delivering us. If not, the rocks are going to cry out, Father. So we don't want to be outdone by a bunch of rocks. We cry out this morning and say thank you. Can someone shout it out and say thank you this morning? Can someone declare